Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, June the 19th. And we're going to celebrate Father's Day today. Of course, it's Father's Day weekend. You know, some of you are going to listen to the show on Sunday. Some of you will listen on Saturday night. But probably most of you are going to catch the podcast on Sunday, which is, of course, Father's Day officially in the United States. So today we're going to talk a little bit about fathers. I'll tell you a little bit about my father, who passed away 5 years ago, and some of the memories that I have of him. We'll talk a little bit about what's happening in the country. You know, one of the real tragedies that we have in the United States today is that we have a lot of people growing up without fathers, and especially a lot of young men who are growing up without fathers. And that, I think, is to some extent responsible for many of the social problems that we are having. So Father's Day this weekend, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. But I do want to begin. This is unrelated to Father's Day, but it is a great story. It's happening in Texas right now. You may remember that a couple of weeks ago, the Democrats walked out of the legislative session. We have in Texas, we have a legislature. The legislature meets every 2 years. So we have a session every 2 years. It usually runs about 90 days, sometimes a little longer, but 90 to 120 days is normal. They meet in Austin. So they all come to Austin and they take votes. They debate things and so on and so on. And when the session was over this time, this last session was very difficult for the Democrats because they couldn't win anything. And part of the reason they cannot win anything is that they're not winning enough elections in Texas. So Texas has a conservative House and a conservative Senate. So, you know, a lot of things they didn't want happened, like the heartbeat law, abortion, the constitutional carry, and a bunch of things like that. Texas did away with critical race theory as a subject in schools. So it was a very bad session for the Democrats. And when it came to the last vote, this was the one about the voting law, the Democrats just walked out saying that they were not going to participate in this vote. And they just walked out. I guess they ended the session early. So Governor Abbott is doing a great thing. He has vetoed the budget to pay these legislators. And he's basically saying, look, you signed up to do a job. And the session did not finish. You were supposed to vote one way or the other, and you walked out. So the session is not over. I'm not going to pay you. Now, you know, it's one of those issues where, you know, your first reaction is, go get them, Governor. And I agree with the governor. I think it was very foolish and irresponsible of the Democrats to walk out. But I just hope that we're not hurting the staff people. You know, particularly the people who work in the Capitol who are not partisan, you know, just the people who change the lights or whatever, clean the rooms or whatever. I hope we're not hurting them. But if it's only the legislators, I think it's a great tactic by the governor. Look, I think in any job in the United States, if you sign up to do a job, let's say you sign an agreement and you have a job to do and you get angry and you walk out early, you're not going to get paid. You're simply not going to get paid. So I think it's a great move by the governor. My guess is that he'll have generally good support from the people of Texas. But I think it's hilarious, really, in many ways that he's done this. But it's also an example that this is a man, Governor Abbott, who's a pretty serious governor. And he understands that they have a job to do and the legislators better do it. That's all I can say. So good move by the governor on this particular front. Let's talk a little bit about fathers. Father's Day this weekend, we remember our fathers. You know, my father, as many of you know who know me personally, was born in Cuba. We came to the United States in 1964. My father was a banker in Cuba. And then when we got here, of course, it took him a while to get back into banking. For about 5 or 6 years, he did a bunch of different jobs just to take care of the family. And he was always a very responsible man who taught us a lot about life And like any other kid, you know, we all, when we're young, when we're kids, we have disagreements with our fathers. And a lot of it, frankly, is based on our own immaturity. Our fathers are trying to teach us lessons, and we're immature. We don't understand what he's trying to tell us, so we rebel and we say things. But in my case, I think as time passes, you know, you've heard this saying before that the older you get, the smarter your father your father is. Well, I learned that a long time ago. I learned that as soon as I had my own sons, because, you know, when you have your own kids, you realize what a responsibility your parents had. And in the case of my parents having to come here and start a whole life, you know, literally starting all over again, well, that's a great responsibility that my father handled as well as any man could handle it. You know, I think sometimes myself, I think, could I have done that? Could I have just started, you know, if I was 38 years old, which is how old my father was when we came here, my father was 38, my mom was 34. If I was 38 years old with three kids, would I have been able to do what they did, to leave everything and start all over again in a new country with a brand new language? It's pretty amazing when you think of it that way. But my father did it, and he retired successfully. He was able to get back into banking and retired successfully. And, you know, obviously my mom lived a few years after she passed away a month ago. But, you know, he left my mom well taken care of. He provided for himself. He owned the home. I mean, this is the American dream in every way. He was the American dream. But most of all, he taught us the right values. He taught us the right things about life. And that's something that, you know, you cannot get that from a book. You cannot get that from a book. You can only get it from another man, in this case, your father. So, you know, you look at the country as a whole, and you look at the fact that one out of every four kids today will not have a father at home on Father's Day. It gets even worse than that when you look at black children. I mean, the number of black children growing up without fathers is just totally scandalous. You're talking about 70%, 72% of black kids who do not have a father in their home. In many cases, they're born to a single mother, an unmarried woman. And this is what's happening in many of these African-American districts and communities. And I think it contributes, frankly, to the very toxic situation in many of these communities, where you have lots and lots of young men who do not have a father around. You know, a father is that man in your life who will grab you by the neck and say, no, you're not going out tonight because you got to do your homework. And no, you're not going out tonight dressed like that. Oh, you're not doing this because there are going to be consequences if you do it. That's what your father is. He's that man who teaches you how to be a man, how to be responsible. And unfortunately, in many of these black communities, in many of these black districts, you don't have that. You know, when three out of four kids are born to an unmarried woman, well, you're seeing the consequences, I think, in many of these communities, the violence, you know, the black-on-black killing. I mean, it's just absolutely horrific. And I think a lot of that, not all of it, I'm not going to say all of it, but a good chunk of it is attributed to the fact that there are no responsible men in these communities looking out for these kids. I'll never forget Walter Williams, the late Walter Williams, the great African-American economist, who grew up in Harlem in the 1930s, I guess. He was born in the 30s, grew up in Harlem in the 1940s, and he said back then, yeah, no question about it, yeah, there was segregation, nobody was hiding that, but back then you had families in the black community, you had fathers and mothers in these communities, and you could walk down the street and you could see the homes, and you could see a father and a mother in a home. Well, that's not the case anymore. That's not the case anymore, and I think, sadly, it has... It's had a very negative impact on many of these communities, because once again, you have all these young men growing up without positive male role models. And, you know, if you do not have a positive role model, male role model in your life, you're not going to learn how to become a man. And again, the only a man can really teach a young man how to be a man. A single mother can do her best. And look, I have nothing but tremendous respect for many of these single mothers who are stuck raising children on their own. Tremendous respect and sympathy for them. But only a man can teach you how to become a man. And that's what fathers are for. That's what fathers do. And sadly, there are too many kids today growing up without a father. And that's very bad. That's very bad. We're going to take a little break, and I've got a Father's Day story right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're kind of combining a couple of days here and doing a Happy Father's Day weekend show, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday night, many of you will start getting ready for Father's Day. Father's Day, of course, is officially on Sunday, and many of you are going to hear me on Sunday. So I wish you and your father, or you directly if you're a father, I wish you a very happy Father's Day. You know, I am now a grandfather. Our number one grandson, our first grandson, I should say, the famous Lincoln, that's his name, Lincoln, he made me a grandfather about a year ago. And we have another one on the way. We have a second grandson or grandchild. It is a grandson. I'm sorry. It is. Yeah, I know. We know the gender. They tell you that these days. You know, I didn't even, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't know the gender. Okay. But I guess they do that now. Anyway, they do it. So, yes, it is a grandson that we will be having around the 1st of August. I understand, you know, around that time that he will be joining us and joining the family as the new grandson. But anyway, that's exciting. You know, being a grandfather is very exciting. I always heard that from people, and trust me, it is. It's just a great feeling to pick up a kid who's part of you, but not your son, but I mean part of you because you're the grandfather. Well, let me tell you a great Father's Day story. This one goes back to 1964. You may remember the name Jim Bunning. Jim Bunning was actually the senator, U.S. senator from Kentucky. He was a senator for, about 25 years, I think, 20 or 25 years. He was replaced, by the way, in 2010 by Rand Paul because he retired. Bunning retired and Rand Paul ran for his seat and won the seat. And he was also, before he became a U.S. Senator, Jim Bunning was a great major league pitcher. He pitched for Detroit and Philadelphia, and he's in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Hall of Fame. He was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1996. So this is a guy who had a great career. He pitched a no-hitter in the 1950s. But on Father's Day 1964, and this is why we remember him so much, on Father's Day 1964, he was pitching for the Phillies. And they went to Shea Stadium to play the Mets. And Jim Bunning pitched a perfect game, the only perfect game in Major League history on Father's Day. There have been other great games, I suppose, on Father's Day. But the only perfect game ever thrown on Father's Day was Jim Bunning, Father's Day 1964 at Shea Stadium. They say that there were like 30,000 people in the stands. And you think how exciting that must have been? You take your son, you go with your dad to Father's Day, they're a Father's Day baseball game, and you end up watching a perfect game. I mean, that's got to be pretty exciting if you're a baseball fan. It would be for me. It would be very exciting for me to go to a baseball game with my dad on Father's Day and have a perfect game. I mean, I would be pretty excited about that. But anyway, Jim Bunning pitched this game, and what's interesting about Jim Bunning is that he was the father of nine, so he knew a little bit about fatherhood. He also knew a lot about pitching, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. So anyway, a little Father's Day story there for you. The perfect game, Jim Bunning's perfect game on Father's Day 1964. I've got a post, by the way, at the American Thinker about this on Sunday. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Love your father. Enjoy your father, because one day you're not going to have him. But love your father, and happy Father's Day. Bye-bye, everybody.